My text is probably very familiar to you Bible readers. And what I want to preach about tonight is the grace of God. This is an illustration, Old Testament illustration of the New Testament doctrine of the grace of God. You all are familiar, I'm sure, with the relationship between David and Jonathan, Saul's son. It was immediate after David had slain Goliath that Jonathan's soul was knit to the soul of David. And he recognized the fact that David was going to be the next king. And he established this friendship with David that lasted as long as Jonathan lived. When Saul had decided to kill David, and David did not know it, and Jonathan came to him and told him, warned him that his father was aiming to kill him. And so David and Jonathan made a covenant. And Jonathan asked David, he told David, I know you're going to be king, and I'm asking you to be kind to my descendants. And David made a covenant with Jonathan that he would be kind to the descendants of Jonathan. You know that Jonathan got killed in the battle where his father Saul died, and David became the king. And so time had gone by, and one day David asked a question. He wanted to know, is there any of the house of Saul alive that I may show kindness unto him for Jonathan's sake? This is an illustration of God desiring to show kindness to the family, the human family, in spite of the fact that Saul's family were the enemies of David. And Saul had sought to kill him, but David said, I want to show kindness to the house of Saul for Jonathan's sake. And Jonathan was part of that house of Saul as well, but he was a friend of David's. And what we see here is an illustration of the fact that God showed kindness to us for Jesus' sake. Jesus became one of us. And because of Jesus living among us, suffering with us and for us, God said, I'm going to show kindness unto them for the sake of Jesus Christ. And so we see in this story about Mephibosheth that Mephibosheth was lame on his feet. And the Bible tells us in 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4 that when Saul died and Jonathan died in the battle with the Philistines, that the nurse of Mephibosheth took him and ran with him to try to save this child's life. And in the process of fleeing, he fell. And as a result of that fall, he was lame on his feet. And he is an illustration of the fallenness of the human race, that we all have failed. And as a result of that fall, the fall of man into sin, we've all been handicapped by that fall. Mephibosheth was a handicapped man all of his life because of the fall that took place. He was lame on his feet. And so David asked the question about where is he, brought Ziba, the servant of Saul, and asked the question about where is Mephibosheth. He told him about Mephibosheth. Ziba told him about Mephibosheth. He asked him, where is he? Mephibosheth had been hiding all this time from David, fearing for his life, because he's of the house of Saul. And he's been hiding, from the man who desired to show kindness to him. Brother, ever since man sinned in the garden, he's been running from God and trying to hide from the very one who desires to show kindness to him. It's amazing to me how that sinners fail to realize that God desires to show kindness to them. And they run from him and hide, try to hide from God and stay away from the house of God and avoid the people of God and seek to avoid the presence of God. And all the time, God is looking for them because God desires to show kindness unto them because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When Ziba was questioned about where Mephibosheth was, he found out that Mephibosheth was in the house of Maker. And that word Maker means sold. And he's an illustration of the fact that we all were sold under sin. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 7 that we were all sold under sin. Our father, all our earthly father, Adam, sold us under sin. All of us were born in sin. All of us were born with a sin nature. We were all sold under sin. And not only was he in the house of Maker, but he was in the land of Lodabar. And Lodabar means pastureless. So here he is in the house of Maker, sold. He's in the land of Lodabar, pastureless. And, you know, it's a lonely life out there without God. And I know that people find momentary pleasure in sin. But, brother, after a while, the pleasure runs out. And it's a pastureless land. There's a time, you know, there's a reaping time in sin. And it often happens, perhaps most every time, the consequences of sin catch up with us in this world so that we begin to pay for our sins while we are still living. And the pleasures of sin run out on us. I've talked to so many people in life warning them about the consequences of sin. And it seems like that the devil hides from our young people especially the consequences of sin and the principle of sowing and reaping. The Lord said in his word in Galatians chapter 5, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." When he introduces that concept with these words, "Don't let anybody deceive you," because this is where deception often happens, right here. People do not believe that they're going to reap what they're sowing. "He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." It's a warning right here, brother. If you sow seeds of sin, you sow to the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. But there's also a promise here. If you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The devil tries to deceive us on both hands, you know. He tries to deceive sinners into thinking that they can sow to the flesh and reap everlasting life. But he also tries to deceive the saints of God into thinking that they can sow to the Spirit and they'll not be able to reap everlasting life. And so there's a deception on both ends that we have to guard against. And a lot of people in living for Jesus and serving the Lord, and the devil convinces them that they're living for Jesus in vain. But it's never in vain to live your life for Jesus. It's the lie of the devil, brother, that you can sow to the Spirit and miss out on heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. So here is Mephibosheth in the house of Maker, in the land of Lodabar, pastureless. And David is the king over a kingdom. And he is looking for Mephibosheth, seeking for this man who's been hiding from him for all these years. And you can just imagine now Evidently, Mephibosheth is in the house of another man, the house of Maker. And he's hiding from the king. And one day, there's a royal chariot pulls up in the yard with a royal retinue from the king. And people dressed in royal apparel get out of this chariot, this golden chariot, and knock on the door. And somebody looks out the window and says, "Hey, there's somebody from the king is here. There's a royal chariot out in his yard." Amen. And can you just imagine the terror in the heart of Mephibosheth? He's finally found me. I've been discovered. Somebody told him where I was at. And here is this crumpled, lame man over in the corner, full of terror that the king has finally found him. And now then, it looks like the end is at hand. But when they go to the door and answer the door, and the question is asked, "Is there a man by the name of Mephibosheth here?" And you know, they say, "Well, yeah, he's here over there in the corner, crumpled up over there in the corner, lame on his feet." And then these wonderful words: "The king is sent for him because the king desires to show kindness to him." Can you imagine how the terror evaporates in that man when he hears that the king wants to show kindness unto him? Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, that prodigal son that went away from home and spent all of his living on wild living, and then wakes up comes to his senses in the pig pen and decides to go back home. And he's afraid of how Father's going to receive him. And he's going to tell Father, "Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me one of your hired servants." But when he gets inside a home and Father sees him, and Father comes running out, falls on him and kisses him, and kills the fatted calf and makes a celebration, I tell you what, brother, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Jesus is a calling to sinners. He's a seeking after sinners. And brother, he desires to show kindness to those who have been his enemies in the past. Jesus is a looking for lost souls. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And now they gather up this crippled man, this handicapped man, carry him out to the royal chariot, put him in the golden chariot, and carry him to the palace of David the king. When he comes in before the king recognizes who he is, calls his name, Mephibosheth. He knew his name. I'll tell you, the Lord knows your name as well. And I remember Zacchaeus, the wee little man who wanted to see Jesus, couldn't see him because of the multitude, went before the crowd, climbed up in the tree, wanted to see Jesus. He had no idea what the Lord had in mind for him that day. As Jesus passed along the way, he looked up in the tree and saw Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus went there to see Jesus, but Jesus saw him. And Jesus called his name and said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I must abide at your house today." Brother, I'm telling you, I believe I'd have fell out of the tree. Here is a man I've never laid eyes on before, but he knew my name. And not only knew my name, he's invited himself to come home with me. This Savior, this one who came to seek and to save that which was lost, he found him up in the tree and said, make haste and come down. I must go home with you today. And now then, here's Mephibosheth in the presence of the king. And the king calls his name. And Mephibosheth says, I'm your servant. And the king says to him, Mephibosheth, he said, I'm going to change your position. You're not going to live in the house of Maker anymore. You're not going to live in the land of Lodabar anymore. You're going to live in the palace with me. We're going to change your position. Isn't it wonderful? Praise God that the Lord changes our position. Amen. Translates us from the kingdom of darkness. Brother Jeff mentioned this morning, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Brings us out of darkness into light. Brings us from out of the slave market into the palace. Makes us a child of the king. I'm telling you, God changes our position. And now then, Mephibosheth has been given a place in the palace of the king. And the king said, moreover, all the things that you lost because of the fall of your family, all the things that you lost, I'm going to restore back to you. All the things that you lost as a result of the fall of your family. I'm going to give you back your lands. I'm going to give you the servants. I'm going to put you back in a position that you once had. I'm going to restore back to you what was lost in the fall of your family. And isn't it wonderful, brother, that when the Lord saves us, that he restores. This is what redemption's all about. The Lord buys us back to himself and restores us back to the place that he originally made us to hold, and gives us back power over our adversary. We're no longer servants to sin and no longer servants to Satan. But now then we have power. We can resist the devil and make him flee from us. And God gives back to us what sin and Satan robbed from us. Now remember, Brother Jonathan Johnson, when he got saved years ago, and Brother Jonathan, he was married to Brother Danny's sister, still is. I mean, Sister Kathy, she's a great, wonderful child of God. And Jonathan was just lost and running the roads of sin. And some of the saints said they'd go by that house at night, Jonathan would be running the roads. And Kathy's light in her bedroom would be on. She'd be praying for that lost husband. And God saved him and made him a preacher of the gospel. And years ago, not long after he got saved, he was at our church, maybe in revival, he stood up and testified. He said, when God saved me, he said he gave me back all the devil had robbed from me. The devil had robbed my self-respect, robbed me of my reputation, robbed me of so many precious things. But when God saved me, he gave back to me what the devil had robbed from me. Hallelujah. This is the grace of God, brother. I'm telling you, the Lord restores us back to a position in his kingdom and gives us back the authority that belongs to us as a child of God. Amen. Praise God. When Mephibosheth hears this, he doesn't say, you know, king, I'm glad to hear you say that. You know, I am royal. I am of royal blood. And I deserve this. And you're just giving me what I deserve. He didn't say that. He said, what is this that you're doing for me? I'm just a dead dog. And here you are giving me a place in your kingdom. I'm living in the palace now. And I'm just a dead dog. And yet you're giving me this position. I'm telling you, brother, when a man comes to Jesus, he can't come to Jesus pleading his merits. He comes to Jesus and acknowledging I'm a sinner, unworthy. And the Lord says that he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And everybody that goes to heaven has got to humble themselves and come like a little child before the Lord. And the Lord will receive us and give us this position in his kingdom. I'm telling you, this is the grace of God, brother. This is an illustration of God's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. And this is what grace is. Christ paid the debt that we owed and gave us the privilege of entering the kingdom of God and being a child of God and enjoying the privileges of being a child of the King. Hallelujah. Hey, this is what the king said to him. He said, Mephibosheth, not only am I going to give you a place in the palace, and not only am I going to give you back what you lost, but you're going to sit at my table like one of the king's sons. You're going to sit at my table and you're going to eat at my table, praise God, just like one of the king's sons. Amen. Praise God. I tell you, brother, I've been feasting for all these years since the Lord saved me at 13 years of age, and I've been sitting at the king's table and feasting at the king's table, and I've been feasting today, brother, right here in the house of God with the people of God, sitting at the table of the Lord. And brother, there's food at this table. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And you can enjoy the banquet of the people of God. Y'all, I'm telling you that the kingdom of God is not like a funeral. It's like a banquet. All right? Sometimes we act like it's a funeral, don't we? But it ain't a funeral. It's a banquet. You remember Jesus telling the parable about the man that made this banquet, sent his servants out, come, for all things are now ready. And servants went out and announced, come, for all things are now ready. And they began to make excuses why they couldn't come to the banquet. But Jesus compared his kingdom not to a funeral, but to a banquet. It's a joyful experience to get saved and to live for Jesus and to serve God. And we'd like for the world to know that, wouldn't we? So we don't want to act like a mule eating briars, you know, but when we come to the house of God or when we're out there in the world. We want the world to know that this is a wonderful life. You can live in the palace with the king. You can sit at the king's table. You can enjoy the benefits and blessings of the king's son. Praise God. This is what it means to be a child of God. And we want the world to know there's no better life than this. You can't find a better life than this. This is the best life, you know. Is the man that wrote the book, Your Best Life Now, this is the best life you can have in this world when you're living for Jesus. You got a better one coming, though, when you're living for Christ. When we get through here, the best is yet to come, sister. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, this is just an illustration of God's grace, New Testament grace. We've been brought out of the land of Lodabar, out of the house of Maker. We've been brought to the king's palace, given a position in the king's house, given a place at the king's table. And here we are, the people of God, enjoying the blessings of God. And It's a wonderful experience. It's a wonderful life. Y'all, I'm going to wind up here, Sister Judy. Y'all remember the story of Ruth, how Ruth left her home in Moab and went back to Israel with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And Ruth was a Gentile, and she was not of the family of Israel. And she, you know, the Moabites were refused a place in the temple or the tabernacle for like 3 or 4 generations. And they were a cursed people. They were heathen people. And she came to Israel with her mother-in-law, Naomi. She told her mother-in-law, "Where you go, I will go. And your people will be my people. And your God will be my God." You remember Naomi trying to persuade her to go back. Go back to your home. Go back to your people. Go back to your gods. And she said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to follow after thee. For where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God." And you remember how when they went back to Israel and Ruth went out to glean in the fields, and the Bible says she happened to glean in the field of a man by the name of Boaz. And when Boaz saw her and he recognized who she was, he told his servants who were gleaning, who were harvesting the fields. He said, "I want you to drop handfuls on purpose for this woman." And they did. And she took home a bountiful supply. And he told his servants, "I want you to let this woman eat when you eat. And I want you to supply her needs." And he told her, he said, "Don't you go to any other field. You glean in my fields. You stay in my fields." She wanted to know, "Why are you being so kind to me when I am a stranger, not part of your people, and you are being so kind to me?" This was just another illustration of God's divine grace. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. And yet God took us in, grafted us in, made us part of the family of God, made us part of the people of God. This is the grace of God. You know, I don't know that we realize or appreciate so much as we should God's divine grace. But we are a blessed people. We are a blessed people because of what Jesus has done for us. God has shown us mercy and kindness for Jesus' sake. Let's stand together. We're going to spend some time in prayer tonight. I'll tell you what, if you don't have anything to pray about, maybe you can spend some time thanking God for the grace of God. Brought us out of the house of Maker, the land of Lodabar. Put us in the palace of the king. Let us eat at the king's table. Let's come in and pray.